Today we're going to be looking at one of the parables of Jesus. This parable comes from the 20th chapter of Matthew, the first 16 verses. So let me read that for you. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and he found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. When they received it, those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour. And they said, 'And you have made them equal to us, who have bore the burden of the day and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The parables of Jesus always center around something that people know very well. It centers around an experience that they've seen, that they have participated in, that they have understood. In this case, the situation is that the people, back where I came from in South Hill, I came from not so much South Hill, but a little town. The church was in a little town that really wasn't a town anymore, called the town of Opie. O-P-I-E, Opie. And basically, one family owned all the land in Opie. And there was one other family that had a store, and it was called Warren's Store. Little concrete brick building, that's all it was. And that's where everybody hung out to tell stories until the pastor came in. And then all the stories stopped until they found out that they could tell some of their funny stories around me. But it would be like this, in that little community of Opie, it would be like this. It would be as though the workers were gathered around this little convenience store. And they're there waiting at sunup for somebody to come and hire them for the day. This is how it was done in Jesus' day, not always necessarily hiring workers for the whole course of the season, but it was time to get the crop in at the vineyard. It was time to pull all the grapes and get them in, and it had to be done today. So the landowner goes and he hires a number of folks, the number that he thinks he needs to get the harvest in that day. And he agrees with them that he will pay them 1 denarius, which is a normal day wage. And by the way, in Jesus' day, you didn't wait for every week or every 2 weeks to get paid. You got paid at the end of the day. You did not keep money from workers that had already paid. Not that our system is bad or wrong. Okay? I'm just letting you know that in Jesus' day, they would pay at the end of the day, perfectly normal. Well, at 9 in the morning, the landowner understands that he does not have enough workers to get the whole crop in. So he goes back and he hires some more. He goes back later in the day and hires some more at noon, and then he goes back at 3 and hires some more because he realizes we're not going to get the whole crop in. And then he goes back at 5 o'clock, 1 hour before quitting time, because he realizes he needs just that many more to get the crop in for that day. It's got to be done today. It can't wait. So he goes back for that last hour, and I want you to notice the only ones that he agreed with on a set price was the very first workers that he hired at sunup that morning. The very first workers. He did not tell the rest of them what he was going to pay them. He told them that I'll pay you what's fair. Well, some of us might think that what's fair is the ones who come later in the day get a portion of what the others get, right? That would be fair. If I work half a day, I get a half a day's wages. That would be fair. But all he tells them is what is fair. He tells his foreman, call them all in and start paying them. But I want you to pay first the ones that have only been working for an hour. And he also tells him, pay him a denarius, a normal's day wage. Now, one of the reasons that it would be paid at the end of the day is because these families had needs. And these people who had worked for him had needs, and they needed to pay to get bread, to get other things for their family for subsistence. So they get their pay. Watch this. The last ones are coming in. Can you imagine the smile on their face? They've only been working 1 hour, and they got paid for a whole day's work. Can you imagine the smile on their face? Can you imagine the excitement that they have? I'm sure there are a few of them that are not containing that excitement. Wow, look at what I got. I got paid for a whole day, and I only worked 1 hour. What a great blessing today. Now, the ones over here at the end of the line, wow, look at that. You see what he did? They got paid for a whole day's wage. And they only worked 1 hour. And let's see, I've worked, oh, I don't know how many hours that is, but I worked all day. And I've worked all day, so that means when I get up here, what am I going to get? Oh, much more than a denarius. Much, much more than a denarius, because those people that only worked an hour got a denarius. Now, would we think the same thing? I'm going to be honest. If I'm standing back here and I'm watching everybody that worked an hour got paid for a day, oh yeah, when I get up there, man, my pocket's going to be full of money. And I'm not going to have to work for another week or two. Right? Because I got enough money to feed my family and take care of my family for another week or two. Well, here's the first thing I want to tell you about parables before I go on. The parables of Jesus are meant to make us stop and say, that does not seem right. If you read one of the parables of Jesus and you get to the end of it and you go, oh, I got this, most likely you've read it wrong. Most likely you've read it wrong. Because the parable brings us a situation that we're used to, a situation that we're understanding and know about, and then all of a sudden it turns that story upside down. So what happens when that last worker gets up here? Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean I get paid the same as the person who only worked 1 hour? What do you, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. I worked during the heat of the day. I worked at that time that they weren't bringing us any water, and I'm still, and I had to carry this big basket full of grapes. These guys come in and do cleanup work, and they get paid the same as me? That's not right. And then what do we want to do? As we read this story, in this parable, we want to agree with the first workers that they should be paid more than the last workers, don't we? Hey, those first workers, they should be getting double, triple, five times, 10 times. They work 10 hours today, and if you're paying a denarius for 1 hour, then I should get 10 denarius. Now, if you're not willing to think that way, there are people in this world who do. Would you agree with that? There are people in this world who do agree with that. Hey, wait a minute, that was an hourly wage for them, so the hourly wage for me is 10 times that. You see, a parable should set us on edge. A parable should bring us to a place where we go, that's not right. This is what's right. This is what's supposed to happen. And Lord, fix the situation. Right? That's the way a parable works. It causes us to say, wait a minute. Now, instead, here's what the landowner says. The landowner says, it's my money. I can be generous if I want. Isn't that what the landowner says? The landowner, and if I tease this out some more, the landowner says, you know, those who worked 1 hour, they got a family too. They've got people that are counting on them to support them. And if I want to be generous enough to give the last ones the same thing I give you, and the landowner even goes one step further and says, didn't you agree with me that this is what's right? This morning at sunup, I'm only doing what I told you I was going to do. Right? What if I want to be generous? Can't I? You see, here's the truth of the parable. It's not about unfair wages. The truth of the parable is this. The parable centers more on the generosity of the landowner and the worker's graciousness. It centers more on the generosity of the landowner and the worker's graciousness. This particular parable comes into play quite often. I've heard people talk about it this way. You know, it's not fair that somebody lived their whole life doing whatever they wanted to do and they did completely wrong and they never followed the Lord and they never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and on their deathbed they made a commitment, and you mean to tell me they get the same salvation I get? Who spent 20, 30, 40, 50 years doing the right things? I've been always doing the right things. And I've been doing it all the time, through the heat of every moment, through the up times and the down times. And you mean that guy on death row, 10 minutes before they kill him, gets to live in heaven also? And God would say to us, if I want to be generous, isn't it mine to be generous? You made a commitment to Jesus Christ to walk this path. And didn't we agree that if you did that, you would get eternal life? Have I shorted you in any way? Is God going to short me when I get to heaven because I've spent 20 some odd years following Jesus Christ? No. I get all the same benefits everybody else gets. I get the same benefits that the person gets who made a decision for Jesus Christ 5 minutes before they died. No matter what life they live. You see, God cares about each and every individual. And it doesn't matter what they've done in the past. It doesn't matter what they've been through. Those that live the most horrible life, if they will come to Jesus Christ, will receive the same eternal life that we do. I don't know about you, but I would be a little fearful of standing before God and saying, shouldn't I get more? I did this for 2 or 3 decades. And they didn't even do it for 5 minutes. Shouldn't I get more? You see, it centers on the generosity of the landowner. That's why this story is told the way it is. It centers on the generosity. And then it implies, do those who receive the gifts from the landowner, are they gracious for what they have? I'll never forget, and I think about this often. Went to Kenya, and my wife says I need to find some new stories because Kenya was 17, 18, 19, 20 years ago. But some of those things that happened in Kenya were so transforming for me that they've never left me. And I always come back to them. And God uses them over and over again. I came back and I shared in the chapel at the seminary about what I learned in my 3 weeks in Kenya. And one of my professors that I dearly love came up to me and he looked at me and he said, Kenya was a conversion experience for you, wasn't it? And I said, that's the exact word I've been looking for. You see, I didn't use it because I had already been converted to a Christian. But what happened while I was in Kenya was a conversion experience of another level, of another happening, of another understanding. We were really the first day in the country. Our guide said, hey, look, the van that we have got for this week to use, it really needs an oil change. And it needs a couple other things. Does anybody want to ride into town with me while I get that done? Sam, I knew before I went. He had come over here. He was a missionary child. He grew up in Kenya. That's his home, even though he's an American, because that's where he grew up. And so I was comfortable, and Eric was comfortable. Sure, Sam, we'll go into town with you today. We'd like to experience town. So he took us to the gas station. He says, I'm going to get an oil change in the vehicle. You guys stay in the vehicle. Don't get out. Both Eric and I were like, what could we possibly do wrong if we got out? But he said, look, just stay here. I've got a couple other errands. So while these guys pulled the vehicle in and out, Eric and I sat in the vehicle the whole time. We never got out. And while they were working on the vehicle and doing an oil change, Eric and I got discussing what we had in our pockets, particularly the pieces of paper that we had brought with us, if you understand what I'm talking about, and what those pieces of paper meant to the people that were around us. Some of you got confused looks on your face. You know those green pieces of paper that we carry around in our wallets? That's what I'm talking about. And between the two of us, Eric found out that we had 500 of them green pieces of paper between the two of us. Because there was going to be some cost while we were in the country, things that we had to pay for while we were there. We also brought some money with us so that we could buy souvenirs for our family and take them back home. And when we realized that we had $500 between the two of us, we wondered, what would that mean to the people that are working on the vehicle right now? How much is that for them? So Sam came back and we drove off and we said, Sam, here's what Eric and I were talking about and we're just wondering. He said, what you guys have in your pocket combined will feed a whole family for a year in this country. A whole family for a year. I was floored. I brought that money just for some incidentals. I brought that money just to buy some souvenirs to bring back to my wife and my kids and to some other people that were gracious enough to help me out so that I could go. And for these folks, that meant a year's subsistence for a whole family. You know, so I read this parable. Am I gracious with what God has given me? When God says, Tim, this is what I pay you. This is what I give you. This is what I pass on to you to take care of. This is what I give you, for your family. Am I gracious about that? Or am I looking around and saying, you know, I don't have what such and such has. I don't have a brand new bass boat with all the gear and the nice trailer and the cover that goes over it so it doesn't get ruined. By the way, I brought that up because I don't want a bass boat. Okay? I don't want one. So don't find ways to get me one. I don't want one. But are there not some people in our culture that's what's more important? And Lord, why don't I get more? Why don't I have more? Why don't you bless me more? Unfortunately, there are some who do preach the gospel of prosperity, which I don't find in the Bible, by the way. But there are some who preach that, and I'm not going to mention names. You know the names of some of those people who preach that. And what happens in the end is we find out they haven't been gracious with what they have. So folks, I wonder, as we read this parable and as we look at this parable, does it set us on edge, or do we agree with the later workers? Wow, you really should have been paid a whole lot more than what you got paid. Do we really agree with them? Or are we willing to say, let's all be gracious with what we have? With what God has given us and how God expects us to live. So it should make us ask, do we feel gracious in how God has been generous to us? The other thing I found out on my mission trip was that people in Europe, when you get a hold of a napkin, you use it until there's no napkin left. Deanne and I went to Panera Bread yesterday, and we probably grabbed about 15 napkins. And I know by the time I finished my wonderful lunch that I had used about 5 or 6 of them. You know, this corner on this one, and this corner on this one, and this corner on this one, it's dirty now. I need another one. I never knew that the people in Europe, when you get one napkin, you use that one napkin until it's gone. There's nothing else that can be used for. So in my car in the glove compartment, I assume that's where they went yesterday. In my car in the glove compartment is napkins from just about every restaurant I've been to in the past year. I mean, they're there in case I need them, and that's okay. But am I generous with what I have? It should make me ask, do I feel gracious about what God's given to me already? And do I use it in a gracious way? So I'd ask you to take some time this week. Take some time to examine what you've been given and find ways that you can increase your generosity. What have you been given? And how can you increase your generosity? Because there's people in our society that, in our culture, that don't have everything they need. And oftentimes we meet them throughout the week. Can we be like the landowner and say, well, if I want to give over and above and beyond what seems to be proper and right, guess what? It's mine to do. And if somebody else gets upset about that because I didn't give to them the same way, I can say like the landowner does, it was what was given to me. Can I not be generous with it? Can I not give over and above and beyond? I just want to make you aware, when you read the parables, it better set you on edge. If a parable makes you feel comfortable, you probably missed the point. You probably missed the point. Because a parable is supposed to make you go, whoa, that doesn't seem right. I don't agree with what happens here. But what's the deeper thing that's happening that Jesus is trying to teach through this? So take some time this week. Examine what you've been given and find ways you can increase your generosity. All of us have lots of things to give. All of us have a ton of things to give, and every one of us has got the same amount of time to give. So I don't want you to center down on what goes in your wallet. What can you give out of what you got? And how can you increase that? Let us pray. Lord, the parables of Jesus aren't always comfortable to read. Sometimes they make us think about things we don't want to consider. But Lord, that's also why Jesus shared them. To cause us to think. To cause us to examine. To help us to see how generous you are with us. Over and above and beyond, giving each one of us far more than we ever really need. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to see, one, how we can be thankful and gracious for what you've passed on to us, and not be about talking about how come I didn't get what such and such got, but also help us to see what we do have and how we can be like the landowner and be incredibly generous for things to grow, for things to increase, for things to expand, that many more might come to know your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.